Please turn in your Bible tonight to Philippians chapter 4 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Philippians chapter 4 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, the apostle says here, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." And then in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, start reading at verse 16. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let's pray. Father, we do ask tonight that you would cause Christ to be the joy and rejoicing of our hearts, that your word as it comes forth tonight will cause us, Father, to realize how blessed we are and what a privilege you've given us to be in Christ. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Greek, in First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, in the Greek, he says, "Rejoice always." And then what the Greek says is, "Always rejoice, without ceasing pray." He says, "In everything, give thanks." As you well know, we exist in a world that is full of trouble, a world that is full of defeat, a world that is full of gloom and disaster, sadness, a world that is full of uncertainty. And by now you should well know that we as Christians are not exempt from these things. In fact, we go through the same things as the wicked do, and sometimes we even go through more. And this was the plight of the psalmist in Psalm 73, because he saw the life of the wicked, and he said that it seemed like that they had life so easy, and it seemed like the saints of God was even going through more than the wicked. But he had to go to the sanctuary of God before he understood the plight of the wicked. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 14, the preacher says, "There are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked." And then he says again, "There are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous." And then he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 2, he said, "All things come alike to all, and one event happens to the righteous and the wicked." So when you read these passages of Scripture, you see that we all face the effects of the curse that wicked men do. We all face death. We all face sickness, tragedy, trouble, tribulation. We all face the same as the wicked do. But our response is not to be one as if we have no hope. Understand me tonight before we start that there is a time to weep. There is a time to mourn. There is a time to grieve. There's a time to be sorrowful. Because these are just natural things. And in fact, I will say this tonight, there is something wrong with you if you don't weep and grieve and be sorrowful at the right times. But our Lord Jesus Christ himself wept and was sorrowful. But in these passages that the apostle gives us tonight, he exhorts all Christians to rejoice always. The Christian is to always have a holy joy and a delight in God. All of our joy must terminate in the Lord. The basis of our joy is the Lord. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in who he is. Rejoice in what he's done. You need to rejoice in what he's promised to do." We are to rejoice in spite of our lot in life, in spite of the trials and tribulations or our circumstances. Because, brethren, there's a big difference between the joy of Christians and the joy of the world. The joy of the world is based on temporal things. The joy of the world is based on selfishness. It's based on the state of things in this life. People in the world today are happy because they're in good health, their bank account is full, the stock market is flourishing, or whatever else. It's all based on worldly pleasures, successes, advancements, and all the enjoyments of this world. The world is giddy because and can smile and laugh because things are going good. And that's what you call a vain joy. It's just a temporal joy. And hear me tonight again, there's nothing wrong with being happy or rejoicing over the blessings that we get from God. Because the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, "The Lord gives us richly all things to enjoy." So there's nothing unbiblical about enjoying yourself. In fact, the writer of Proverbs says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." But Christians can smile not only when things are going good, but Christians can smile and be joyful when things are not going good, because our joy is not based on the same things as the world's joy is based on. Our joy is based on a relationship to God and his promises to us. The Christian joy is based on his salvation. And so our joy comes from delightful thoughts of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, verse 4, he said, "Delight yourself also in the Lord." And that is what our joy is all about. It's our duty and our privilege to rejoice in the Lord always. And when he says always, he's talking about at all times, in all conditions. Even when we suffer for him or we're afflicted for him, we are to rejoice in the Lord. And can I say this tonight? We have more reason than anybody on the face of the earth to rejoice. And as you look around, and I know this happens all the time, I know there's many brethren are down, they're depressed, and they're defeated, and they're discouraged. And I thought about it as I was doing this message. If you went for counsel for the Apostle Paul and asked him how to get out of this state of depression and defeat, you know what he would give you? Two steps on how to get out of it. Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Because that's the way you get out of it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. But regardless of how rough it gets, we can always rejoice. And I want to show you a scripture, because the apostle wasn't being a hypocrite when he said to rejoice. He had to live these things out when he wrote these things to us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We have more reason than anybody in the world to rejoice. And when we see what the apostle went through, he wasn't just writing these things. He rejoiced in the Lord. As we'll see later, that was because it was his strength to rejoice in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We see that the apostle is commending himself and his companions as ministers of God to the people. And he says in verse 4, he says, "But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth and the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left." And then he says, "by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful," and then at the midst of all this he said, "yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." So regardless of what he went through, the Apostle Paul says, yet he was always rejoicing. He was always living as having nothing yet possessing all things. He lived what he preached because he kept on rejoicing and he kept on living like he possessed all things, regardless of what he had to face. And he faced much difficulty and danger. And in the midst of it all, the Apostle Paul continued to rejoice in the Lord. So when I tell you that Paul says these things, he wasn't just saying these things to be writing them in the Word of God for no reason at all. He had to live through these things, and the joy of the Lord and his rejoicing in the Lord was his strength in times of trouble. Now, Christian joy, like I said, is based on spiritual things, not earthly things. And we have a serious defect in our faith if the joy that we have hinges on our lot and circumstances in life. I mean, if your joy is based on how good things are going, you've got a defect in your faith. Your joy should be based on your relationship with the Lord. In Nehemiah 8:10, he says, "For the joy of the Lord is our strength." And the reason why Nehemiah said that, because it's the joy of the Lord that gets you through difficulty and trouble and tragedy and adversity. And brethren, I want you to realize this tonight. We go through a lot of trial and difficulty for one reason. God doesn't want our joy to be rooted in earthly things. I know we still can't understand about all the trials and situations we go through, but God doesn't want our joy rooted in earthly things, because they will rust, they will corrupt, they will fade away. You know what God wants in your life, and you know he's working in your life? He wants you to rather have Jesus than anything. He wants us to rather have Jesus than silver and gold, houses of land, fame and fortune, riches of this world. He wants our joy in him to be our strength. The joy of our salvation will never fade away. But the things of this earth will fade away. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "Rejoice," and again I say, rejoice. And he was saying that regardless of what you're going through, because the joy that we have is based on our salvation, it's based on our relationship with God. Now tonight I want to give you two or three joy killers, things that kill joy. Number one, you know what number one is? It's sin. Psalm 51, after David had committed the great sin with Bathsheba and killed her husband Uriah, he asked the Lord to restore to himself something that he lost in the midst of those sins. In Psalm 51:12, David asked the Lord to restore to me the joy of my salvation. So he was asking the Lord to restore the joy of God as his Savior and the hope of eternal life. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Because when he was going through those sins and he committed those sins, he lost all his confidence in God. And you can read Psalm 51 and you can see all the things that sin can do to your walk with God. And one of the things that David said is, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Another joy killer, and you can put this under sin, could be a root of bitterness in your heart. That can kill joy, a root of bitterness. A lot of people aren't joyful before the Lord tonight because they are carrying vengeance in their heart against somebody. That will kill your joy. Another thing you can put down, unforgiveness. Bitterness and unforgiveness are very close things. And I believe a lot of brethren in the churches are simply joyless because they have not yet forgiven those who have trespassed against them. We've got to forgive and forget. And your joy will never be full until you forgive. Another thing, and this is a biggie, I believe one reason why that we don't have the joy that we should have in the Lord is because we have misplaced affections. When I say misplaced affections, the Word of God says, set your mind or your affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. The more that we love heavenly things, the more that our joy will be full. You know why we stay down all the time? Because a lot of times when you're down all the time, it's because of what your affections are on. Are y'all with me tonight? You know, it's like, you know, all of your joy is in how good your life is going. Not in who God is and what he's done. I mean, I do it in my own life. And, you know, you got your affections on where this is going wrong and that's going wrong. And it'll take you down in a heartbeat. If the joy of the Lord is your strength, then when these things come, it won't pull you down to the earth where you're crawling in the dust trying to get back up again. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And our joy cannot be based on our circumstances in life. Some of you sitting in these seats tonight, you are facing some big time difficulties. You say, well, give me some advice. The Word of God exhorts you to rejoice. Leap for joy. Count it all joy. That's what the Word of God tells you to do. I mean, you can be murmuring through all your trials and tribulations and complain, but the Word of God exhorts you to rejoice and leap for joy. Count it all joy when you're going through all these various temptations and trials. What about persecution? Look with me at Luke chapter 6. What about persecutions? Do you know it's a blessed thing to be persecuted? Y'all are here tonight. It's a blessed thing to be persecuted according to the Word of God. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Jesus said this. He said, blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. He said, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Now, I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Do you think Americans would leap for joy if it got any rougher than it is now? I'm telling you, and this is just my opinion, and I know I'm just as soft as anybody else. We need a good shot of persecution. Are y'all with me? I'm not talking about killing and dragging you down the road and things like this. But I still don't feel like the church in America has faced the persecution that they have in other countries. You know, because we got religious freedom and anything goes and things like that. And I've been under certain elements of persecution before, and it's not funny at all. But one thing it does is it does want you to leap for joy because you feel like that they're doing it because of Christ's sake. And he says, leap for joy. And he tells you why to leap for joy. He says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. He said, you can leap for joy because, number one, it's proof that you belong to Christ. They did the same thing to the prophets and said, because they're persecuting you for Christ's sake, great is your reward in heaven. 1 Peter 4, 12 to 13, Peter says, rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. And then another form of suffering, James chapter 1, verse 2, as our brother Charlie Hall told us, James said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. You say, why should I count it joy? You should count it joy because God is doing a good thing in your life. James says that God is doing something good in your life, that God is working patience in your life so that you can be mature, that you can be complete, and that you can lack nothing. When you're walking through trials and tribulations, you can count it all joy because God is fulfilling His promise to conform you to the image of Christ. And let me tell you this tonight, brethren, God is not going to take a magic wand and touch you on top of the head and make you like Christ. We learn obedience through the things we suffer. Y'all still with me, aren't you? Okay. That's how you learn obedience. And you say God is doing a good thing. He's doing it so you can be complete. Rejoicing and joy comes from knowing and understanding what's going on when you're going through adversity. You need to understand this when you're going through adversity. God doesn't hate you. You need what you're going through. I'm going to say it again. You need what you're going through. If you didn't need it, God wouldn't let you go through it. Y'all with me? You know, you say that to people, it's true. And I even tell myself that sometimes in trial, God's working on me. And what He's doing is He's making me what He wants me to be, not what I want me to be. And He says, leap for joy because God is doing a great work in me. I'll be riding down the road sometime, complaining and murmuring about something. And my wife always reminds me of the things that I preach. And I go, forget that sermon right now. I'm going to be mad. Let's drop that one over to the side, okay? And anyways, you're supposed to learn it. Just ask me if you want a question or something. But anyway, she reminds me of, especially, and every time I preach a sermon like this, I know it's coming. And you want to murmur, you want to complain. You know what the Word of God says? Leap for joy. And she reminds me of in the worst times. When she should be ministering to my flesh. No, she wants to preach. Okay, that's good. But God, you need to tell yourself when you're going through these things, I need this. God is working on me. He's making me what He wants me to be. Job 23, verse 10, this is what Job said. But He knows the way that I take, and when He has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Job says, I'm rejoicing in the midst of this because God is true to all His promises. And what I'm going through, God is making gold. So till we see God in all of our circumstances and remember that we belong to Him, we will never rejoice. I'm so glad that I'm in a church that believes in the sovereignty of God. Because if we didn't believe in the sovereignty of God, I don't see how anybody could persevere in any kind of trial. You'd be giving up all the time. You got to remember when you're going through a trial, number one, you belong to God. And number two, the things that God are doing in your life are good for you. He's not trying to kill you or destroy you. You belong to Him. He's working a work in your life. He's conforming you to the image of His Son. And there's much work that needs to be done. If you belong to Christ tonight and you're not rejoicing in your heart, it's being quenched by either sin, circumstances, bitterness, unforgiveness, or maybe misplaced affections. And I remind you as Christians tonight, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. That's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And after this, I want to give you some reasons to rejoice. Are you happy tonight? Are you joyful because of your salvation? That was weak, but we're blessed. We're blessed. God knows what He's doing. And I like what Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. He didn't say rejoice in your circumstances. Rejoice on how things are going. Rejoice on how things look. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. And then verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So in verse 17, he's telling us that our hearts are to ever be attuned to God. And then we will know and we'll remember and we'll understand what God is doing. Doubt and unbelief come from not knowing what God is doing. You know how you keep in touch with what God is doing? As Pastor Jim preached today, by being in the Word of God. And the other thing is being in your prayer closet. because we get away from the Word of God, and because we're not attuned with God, because we don't have communion with God like we should, when things come up, we don't understand what God is doing. And we don't always know why He's doing what He's doing, but we understand that the Word of God tells us that we will go through things and that God is in absolute control of all the things that we're going through. And then the apostle says here, in everything give thanks. So regardless of what we face, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Regardless of what we face, we need to give thanks because God controls it and it could be worse. And we don't have to thank Him for the bad things that happen, but you can thank Him in the midst of what you're going through. Because Romans 8, whatever you're going through, God is there with you, working all things together for your good. That's why you can thank Him in the midst of all the trials you're going through. He is working all things together for your good. Now, what I want to do tonight, I want to give you some reasons to rejoice, because I'm sure there's some sitting here that probably see absolutely no reason to rejoice at all. It's been dark so long and difficult that you probably feel hopeless, and you probably would ask the question, why should I rejoice? I mean, if you only knew what I was going through, and if you knew the things that I faced, you wouldn't be saying all this stuff. This is not a time to be happy, but I need to be as sad as I can be. And I know the times get dark and long. I know the times get difficult. I know sometimes when it rains, it pours. Sometimes trials and tribulations come in my life, and then they'll go bang, bam, bam, bam. I said, I thought God was going to stop at the first one. No, He gives me four or five more. And I said, I thought that one would be enough. And He goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And like I tell you, God knows what He's doing. See, because I could have probably got by that first one real easy and acted right. But it's when that domino effect comes all the way down. That's when you start finding out what you believe and what you think about God and how you're going to react and respond in trials and whether or not you want to grow up in the faith. You pray, God, give me patience. When you pray for that, get ready. We say it all the time, but that's the truth. When you pray for that, get ready. Father, I want more love for my brethren. The worst one in the church will be there. He's not going to send somebody that's a loving person to you. He's going to send a hard head to you to teach you how to love. And if you can love that one, then the one that loves you back is no problem to love them. But that's the kind of work that we need, and that's the way God operates. And that's why we have reasons to rejoice, because God knows the work that we need done in our lives, each and every one of us. Now, why should you rejoice? Number one, and this is a great one. Because God is good. Amen. Look at Psalm 119. Because God is good. You can rejoice tonight. Because God is good. That gives you some relief and comfort, doesn't it? Psalm 119, verse 68. The psalmist says this. You are good and do good. Then he says, teach me your statutes. And then he says later, he says, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. And then if you look back at verse 65, the psalmist says this, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Have you ever said that to God in your trials? You are good. And have you ever told God, it was good for me that I might be afflicted, that I may learn your statutes, and then turn around and tell God that you have dealt well with your servants? Because God is good. Anytime you're in a trial, just remember this, that God is good. How good is God? Psalm 33, verse 5 says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The whole creation and everybody partake of the goodness of God. Your life is full of the goodness of the Lord, regardless of what you're going through. Regardless of what you're facing tonight, your life is full of the goodness of the Lord. When we go through the worst of times, God is good. A lot of times when we're going through situations, trials and troubles or whatever else it is, we forget that God continues to feed us. God continues to clothe us. He continues to shelter us. God continues to preserve us in the midst of trouble. He continues to feed our soul with manna that comes down from heaven, which is the word of God. God is still good in the midst of all of our trials. And one thing He does in the midst of our trials, He continually restores our souls. He fills us with His Spirit. He never stops being God our Father in the midst of our trials. I don't care what you're going through, in the midst of what you're going through, God is good. And if it wasn't for God in our adversity, every one of us would perish. He's very good. Amen. Psalm 66, look at Psalm 66, He's good. A lot of times when we're going through bad things, a lot of good things are happening too. Y'all with me tonight? But because our eyes on the bad things, we can't see the good things that God's doing. Y'all with me tonight? I know what I'm saying there. There's been good things surrounding me, but because of one bad thing, I can't see God's goodness in the whole trial and everything else that's going on while I'm in the trial. God's still feeding me, clothing me, sheltering me, and it could always been much, much, much worse than what it was. Psalm 66, verse 8, the psalmist says this. He said, "Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net and laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water." But look at this right here. This is God. "But you brought us out to rich fulfillment." In the midst of all that they were going through, God was good to them. He caused men to ride over their heads. He said, "We went through fire and water." But he said, "At the end of all we went through, you was good to us and you brought us out to rich fulfillment." Psalm 107, verse 8. The psalmist says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness to the children of men." In verse 9, he said, "He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." God is good to all his creation, but I just specifically want to remind us tonight is that when you go through trial and tribulation and trouble, in the midst of everything you're going through, you can rejoice because God is still good. He's a good God. And he's good to you in the midst of the worst situations that you may be going through. Your situations never change God. He's still the same. He's good and loving and kind. His love has not changed towards you in your trials and tribulation. God loves you the same today as he loved you from all eternity. God is good. Second thing, this is a biggie. Rejoice. You didn't get what you really deserved. Are y'all with me? Look at Job chapter 11. You didn't get what you really deserved. I have a habit now of when I go through a trial of telling myself this. Quit crying. You deserve worse. I always ask myself, you know, you're complaining about this trial. Remember all the murmuring you did the other day? Remember this, that, the other, when you snapped at your wife or whatever else you did? You deserve worse. And any time you go on a trial, you can rejoice because God doesn't give us what we deserve. Job chapter 11, verse 6. He says that he would show you the secrets of wisdom, for they would double your prudence. Know therefore that God exacts from you less than your iniquity deserved. Brethren, none of us, now remember this morning, this will help you in your trials. It's helped me in mine. None of us ever go into a trial totally innocent or undeserving. None of us ever go into a trial totally innocent or undeserving. And it's a temptation to murmur, "Why am I going through this? Why me? Why have I done this? I'm better than so-and-so. They need to go through more than what I'm going through." But you better rejoice because your sins did not get what they truly deserved. In fact, what would happen if our sins got exactly what they deserved? If our sins got exactly what they deserved, we'd be cast into hell immediately. And Psalm 130, verse 3, it said, "If the Lord should mark iniquity, who would stand?" So we need to rejoice when we go into a trial for the fact that God never exacts punishment that is due our sins. He never gives us what we actually deserve, but he's merciful, kind, and loving, and he remembers that we're but flesh when we go through trials, and he limits everything that we go through. We never get what we deserve in our sins. Look with me at Lamentations 3. That blesses me today because if we got even a tenth of what we deserve, it'd be bad news probably. Y'all with me? Because we never go into our trials innocently, undeserving. In fact, probably if we knew the truth of it, God goes easy on us in some of the situations, the way we act sometimes. Not that we act all horrible and bad, but a lot of times we murmur against the Lord. A lot of times we complain. A lot of times we sin against the brethren, things like that. And a lot of times we deserve more than what we even get in trials. But that's because God is loving and merciful and long-suffering, and he doesn't allow us to be tempted above what we are able. Lamentations 3, verse 22. It's what the Jeremiah is basically saying here. He's saying, it's through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Y'all with me? Because his compassions fail not. And he's saying that through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. He said they are new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of God. Then he says in verse 39, why should a man complain, a man, for the punishment of his sins? So we murmur and complain, they're unfaithful at times, and we're cold toward God. Sometimes we just write out sin. God puts up with a lot out of all of us. But every one of us, our lives are lined with the mercy of God. And even the worst situation in this room tonight is full of the mercy and the compassion of God. The very worst situation. Things could always be much worse. Are y'all with me? It could be much worse for all of us. We live in a country with virtually no persecution. We live in a country that's full of religious freedom. We got extraordinary prosperity in this country. We got Bibles, churches, and helps everywhere. This country is full of biblical churches. It's shame on us if we can't rejoice in the Lord. Because it's not that bad. Shame on us not to be thankful and realize how blessed we are in this country. Things could be much worse. And who in your situation tonight, just take the worst situation in the room or any situation in the room, who in the situation tonight can say what is said in Proverbs 20, verse 9, who can say, I've made my heart clean, I'm pure from sin? That I'm in this trial, I don't deserve this, much less worse than what God would give me. No one would want to say that, would you? And that's why you can rejoice tonight and be thankful, because we have never gotten near what we deserve in our trials. I told you that God was good. We never gotten what we deserve. And then in verse 40 in Lamentations, this is how we should respond in difficulties and trials. He says here, he said, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to the God of heaven. That's the way we should respond in our situations, in our trials. We need to rejoice because we never get what we truly deserve in our trials. You know why that is? Because of the mercy and compassion and the lovingness of God. The third thing tonight, God is sovereign. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Says that God is faithful to control the situation according to as we are able to bear it. He's in absolute control of our destiny, and what a comfort that is. God will not let the situation, as you've heard over and over again, destroy us or overtake us. God controls it for its intended purpose. God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. So whatever we're going through, as we, you know this by heart, that God will never let it get out of control. God will never let it overtake you. There's hope that you will be delivered from whatever you're going through, because God is sovereign and God is faithful. And you belong to God, and he's not out to destroy you. He's just doing a work in your life. So we're saying that God is sovereign. We're saying that we never get what we deserve. We're saying that we can rejoice because God is good. And number four, we can rejoice because in 1 Peter chapter 1, it's only for a season and it's only for a reason. Whatever you're going through, it's not going to be forever, and God has a reason for why you're going through it. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Have you ever thought about how strange some of the trials get in your life? Y'all with me tonight? They can get very strange. Let me ask some of you tonight this. Have things happened to you in your life that you never even dreamed that would happen? In the way that they happen? God understands and knows what's going on. And things happen in strangest ways and some of the strangest things. And Peter tells us why some of these things happen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And this is why it's happening, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter is saying that it's only for a season, it's only for a reason, and in this you can greatly rejoice. He says, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Peter is telling us, rejoice because it won't last forever. And if need be, you'll be tested for a little while. Rejoice because of the intent of all you're going through. Peter tells these Christians here that God is proving your faith to be the real thing in front of the whole world. God is putting your faith to the test. And this is a very precious thing that God is doing, because there's a great reward for this faith that is being tested by fire. God is putting your faith to the test right now, so that at the return of Christ, it will be found to the praise and honor and glory at His return. So we need to rejoice greatly, because there is a great reward for a proven faith at the return of Christ. And, you know, if you read all this, he said that we'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory where there is true love and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can rejoice because even though your faith is tried and tested many, many times, the end of your faith will be the salvation of your soul. What a reason to rejoice. It will all culminate in the salvation of your souls. That's a reason to rejoice. And the last reason I have tonight to rejoice, and this is a great main reason, is because Christ has died. He's paid the full penalty for our sins. God has raised Him from the dead, and He's now seated at the right hand of God, interceding for the saints. And brethren, we can rejoice because shortly we will live and reign with Him forever. Shortly this whole situation will be over, and we'll be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the duty of all Christians, as well as the absolute privilege, to rejoice in the Lord at all times, under all conditions. We're to rejoice, we're to be glad, we're to be joyful, we're to be full of joy, regardless of what we face. And you remember now, when I tell you these things, that the apostles send these things to people who face death and prison time. He's telling these things to people who went through the harshest of tribulation and persecution at the times that they were going through. And we're to rejoice, we're to be glad, we're to be full of joy, regardless of what we face. I know we have to be serious and consider things, but we can't let things just take us down to the dirt. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And what he's saying here is that when we go through these situations, we're to rejoice in the Lord always. And he says again, the Apostle Paul says, again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in who he is. Rejoice in what he's done. Look at God in the midst of all your trials and tribulations. I got one more scripture I want to read tonight. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk, whoever you want to call him. Chapter 3. But we have many reasons to rejoice. We could name more reasons, but I just wanted to name those basic reasons to rejoice in the midst of our trials. Have you ever had time in your life when it seems like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong? And like I said earlier, when it rains, it pours. Trials come just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or whatever else. Things happen one after another, after another, after another. You get bad reports, and then you get another bad report. You get another bad report. Something else happens. You go to the doctor. Something's wrong. Something happens to a family member, or this, that, or the other. You know, sometimes when it rains, it really pours. Well, the prophet here, verse 17, it looks like to me he was in some kind of economic crash here or something. But he brings us out to what I want to say. Verse 17, he said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, and though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, and though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. This is what he says. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. He says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me to walk on my high places. So I like what he says. Regardless of all this happening in my life and all the losses that I have taken, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And the prophet says, the Lord God is my strength. And just to top that off, just remind you what the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And just one word to the unconverted tonight before we leave. You may be happy tonight and even joyful, but the joy that you have is not a true joy. The reason why it's not a true joy is because the joy that you have is not a fruit of the Spirit. The joy that you have in your life tonight, or what you're experiencing, is based totally on your circumstances. You may be well, you're healthy, you're having fun, you're full, everything is going your way. But one thing I do know, because I knew this myself as an unbeliever, deep down in your heart, there's a sadness which is there, and it's there because you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're doomed, and you smile and laugh and pretend as if you're not. So the joy that you have is a vain joy, and you're trying to pass it over, but you know that you're doomed, and you know that you need Christ. But that's down in the middle of your heart where nobody can see it, and you can hide it. I just want to leave this with you tonight, if you're unsaved. You will never know true peace and joy till through faith and repentance you bow the knee to King Jesus. Because the joy that you have tonight is what I call the joy of the world. It's based on how good everything's going in your life. But if you want to have true joy, a joy that's lasting, that will never fade away, you need to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you once again that Christ is the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. And that, Father, we have many, many reasons to rejoice. We thank you tonight that you are a good God and you never give our sins exactly what they deserve. And, Father, that you do watch over us in the midst of our trials and troubles and situations. And that in all the lives of your people, that you will work all things together for the good of your people, for those who love you and know you. We thank you tonight for how you've preserved us as a church in regards to what we've been through, that you've been merciful and kind and full of compassion to us. And we ask, Lord, that you will continue to cause us to joy in you and that our joy of you will be our strength. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.